Hello, hello, hello. I'm your Howard Stern of food, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to look.
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo
got goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz, and we are off to the races. It is beautiful fall weather here in New York. Dare I say it's sweater weather? Sweater weather. Isn't that fun to say? Sweater weather. Have you all seen that SNL skit? Who is it? Where all they just keep saying is, it's sweater weather. It's sweater weather. Well, I have, you know, unspace-savored my sweaters, put the tank tops and the crop tops away, even though, you know, the random strangers in my elevator have loved to comment on the weight, the quarantine weight that I've gained. So now all I'm eating is, you know, fall vegetables because I don't appreciate the strangers commenting my weight. Why do people feel the need to do that? You know, we've been stuck in quarantine. It's like fall weather. It is pumpkin spice season. We are supposed to be winter bulking. But little did we know that I've been fat since last summer because, you know, the diet never began. I want to take a quick moment to do a special shout out to my friend, Vanessa Walker. As I'm sure you all know, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. My good friend, mentor, you know, confidant. She's a friend and a confidant. Vanessa Walker just released a book called Making Room for Joy. She is a two-time breast cancer survivor. If you know somebody out there going through this, Making Room for Joy is a really inspirational book about her journey and finding joy through the struggle. Go out there, support her in this Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Special shout out to you on this day, Vanessa. I love you. And with that, it is another exciting day here on In Yo Mouth. It has been food celebrity after food celebrity here, and today is no different, people. Please join me in welcoming all the way from the Big D, not that Big D, Big D as in Big D, little A, double L-A, as, you know, the one, the only, Chris Longwell and Wesley Loon from the popular food blog and YouTube series, How to Feed a Loon. Say hi, boys.
Hey! Yay! We're so excited.
So happy to be here. We love you.
You don't even know me and you love me.
Oh, please.
Everybody knows you.
Everybody knows you.
Oh, well, we are off to the races because they have read the writing on the bathroom stalls, honey.
We wrote some of it.
Yeah.
Yes, it is early in the morning for the two of us and I am here for all of this. How are you, boys? Or gentlemen, should I say?
We are wonderful. We are, you know, we're in Dallas, we're in Texas, so it's not yet sweater weather here.
Well, yeah, you never know. One day it is, and one day it isn't.
Right,
but
right.
We, you know, we just stay inside and cook and play with our dogs and
play with each other.
Well. That's right.
I mean, has that been the secret to getting through this quarantine? Meanwhile, like while working together and being stuck together?
It can
work in, you know, either way. Sometimes it's great, sometimes
it's like you go outside, okay? Thanks.
And pick up some butter.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I feel a little like good times and bad times. I've seen them all in my
life.
That's right. That's what it is. That's, I mean, we've been together for 30 years. And so,
there's
good time. There's been almost all good times.
Yes.
There haven't been any bad times, have there?
Never.
Anyway.
So oh my goodness.
Wink, wink.
Well, we are going to get into all of that because we have been shot out of a cannon today and I live, honey. But in the grand tradition of In Yo Mouth, gentlemen, I want to wish you, and this is really interesting today, Happy National Desserts Day.
Yes.
You picked a couple of sweet boys.
Yeah.
celebrate with.
I mean, this is a bunch of bullshit if I can just be candid about it, because, you know, I have been talking about it now for over 50 some odd episodes since I started celebrating these National Food Days. And I don't know who chooses these things. And really, no. You couldn't think of anything better than National right. Desserts Day.
I know.
Could you make it at least like Strawberry Shortcake Day? Thank you.
There's one of those.
I know. Imagine that's your job, just to sit around and think, okay, today, oh God, what's it going to be today? All right, National Fried Pickle Day.
I would take that job right now. I feel like I could do a little bit of a better job, but I cross-referenced it because I usually pull those days from a little website called Foodimentary, not a sponsor. And I cross-referenced it with thenibble.com. And apparently October 14th is National Chocolate Covered Insects Day.
Oh, Lord.
Well,
I'll skip that. I think I'll stay in bed that day.
You know why? We haven't done that on the blog yet. No.
Have you eaten bugs before?
Not intentionally. I mean, we do live in Texas, so, you know.
I mean, there's a bunch of cultures out there, you know, between crickets and grasshoppers and, like, there's grubs. There was a whole, I feel like the whole, like, eating insect movement happened not that long ago. I want to say, like, 2018, like, insects were big, 2019.
Yeah, cricket pizzas were big for a while.
Yeah, like cricket flour was big for a minute.
Yeah. Lord, I think it had to do with Top Chef. All of a sudden, Top Chef was doing all these cricket or insect episodes. It's leave me alone.
All of those shows where you had to use these crazy, insane ingredients. And I think they finally just started running out of ingredients. So they said, well, let's turn to the bugs. Yes, you know, they are somewhat edible.
I have had crickets and grasshoppers during this food festival once that was all about the Mexican diaspora up in Rensselaerville, New York. And to be honest with you, it's kind of like popcorn. Like, popcorn tastes like what you season it with.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so like, right. Well, at least if you put chocolate over it. There you go.
I mean, you could put chocolate on anything these days.
Exactly.
That's true. And we have.
Yes. And moving right along, because I'm really interested in hearing your opinion on this day in gay history. So I don't know how much of my big gay podcast you've listened to, but I like to call on the gay voices of the past here. And on this day in gay history, in 1977, Minneapolis gay rights activist Tom Higgins throws a pie into the face of Anita Bryant during a news conference in Des Moines, Iowa.
I love it.
It was a day to remember. Just wonderful. That woman needed more than a pie in the face, let me tell you that.
But it was just so classic because she was like Miss... You know, Miss highfalutin, yes, Miss thinking that she's so, you know, above everybody else, and was just terrible to the gay community. And him to just come up and humiliate her like that was the most beautiful thing. I remember it. Date myself. I was a toddler. I was very small. No, I do remember it.
No, you were a teenager. You weren't a toddler. Shut up.
Listen, we are gentlemen of a certain age. I think I've lost count now because, you know, during quarantine, I've been counting down to my 40th birthday because it's like, what else is there to do? I think I'm something like 85 days to my 40th birthday. But I feel like the younger audience that may be listening are like, who the hell is like Anita Bryant? The amount of queens that I've run into that don't even know who like Judy Garland or Liza Minnelli is.
For shame.
No, but just so you know out there, kids, Anita Bryant is an American singer, and she was a huge anti-gay rights activist, right? She scored four top 40 hits in the United States in the late 1950s and early 60s, including Paper Roses that reached number five on the charts. She was a former Miss Oklahoma beauty pageant winner and a brand ambassador from 1969 to 1980 for the Florida Citrus Commission, which is a big deal. And why we're talking about this, because during a press conference, Bryant became one of the first persons to be publicly pied as a political act during this television appearance in Iowa on October 14th, 1977. She was struck in the face by a pie by Tom L. Higgins. And then Bryant quipped, "At least it's a fruit pie," making a pun. So that's important because this man made history by the doing this political act.
Yes. Well, it kind of gave us all a little bit of a oomph. You know what? Let's all bake our pies. Let's go get a pie, everybody.
I think it's important for us all to remember, like, you know, of course we love Judy and Babs and all of the icons in our community, but it's also important to remember those who worked against us and tried to tear us down. And she was one of those. And you know, to see the strength that he had to do that. And it really, I mean, she had a lot of political influence and was really hurting our community. And so it's gives us all hope and faith that we can overcome people who are trying to tear us down.
Yeah. And from this came a big boycott of the Florida Orange Commission.
Oranges.
And a bunch of celebrities, including Barbara Streisand, Bette Midler, Paul Williams, Dick Clark, Vincent Price, John Waters, Linda Lavin, Mary Tyler Moore, so on and so forth, joined in this like boycott. So, what a like cool like this day in gay history.
You know? I love it. It's so appropriate.
I'm so happy to be here to celebrate.
Yes.
Let's go have a pie.
Now I want pie.
Now you want pie. And we're not talking Greek. Well, you know what? Let's just move on.
Let's not gentlemen. Go. Not that pie.
I can't.
It's nice to look at, but I won't eat it.
I just don't like the smell.
Oh, Chris. Okay.
I can't believe it. I think this is the first time I've ever been speechless on the podcast. Well, and you all know I love to run my mouth. But I feel like I've met my match. Oh my goodness.
Sister, we are sisters.
Yes, sisters. And I said before we came on the air, with the spirit of Lainey Kazan watching over us in the background. For those of you that don't know out there, because as my mother always tells me, I have a face for radio. In my tiny Times Square apartment, I have a signed, autographed a photo of Ms. Lainey Kazan. If you don't know who she is, look her up, right behind me. And so she's always watching over me. On all my meetings.
Love her. Everybody needs a Lainey Kazan watching over them.
I feel her presence.
Yes.
Yeah. Just sing it. I'll remember you. You'll remember.
I love her. You know, Lainey, right? Well, she came in after Barbara Streisand.
Well, she was her understudy
for Funny Girl.
She's the poor man's Barbara Streisand. I hate just like Judith Light is the poor man's Meryl Streep.
Right.
Yeah. So true. Yes. You know, exactly.
Yeah. Like if Barbara Streisand and Meryl Streep didn't exist, it would be Lainey Kazan.
They would have good standards. They have good understudies.
But I'll tell you, Barbara Streisand could never perform as amazingly as Lainey Kazan did in Lust in the Dust.
I don't know this one, but apparently you have a very special connection to this movie.
Well, everyone's like, what? So it's a John Waters movie.
Was it John Waters?
Yes. Yeah. Divine was in.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we're dating
ourselves.
But set out in the wild, wild west. And she owns a
tavern and she's the barkeep.
And she's constantly sweeping the floor, which is made out of dirt. So she's never like cleaned up, but it's hilarious. And it's got Divine in it. So you can imagine it's not real highbrow.
Yeah, exactly.
We love it. I live that I'm getting an education. Lust in the Dust sounds like my love life these days.
Exactly.
I, I want to get to the food.
Okay.
we eventually need to get there, or else this is going to have to be like a 3-part episode.
Sure. Well, good luck.
So let's start at the very beginning. You know, you meet 30 years ago, you fall in love, and now you are like jointly together in, you know, a mini food empire. How does it happen? How did that even come about?
We're still trying to figure it out. But, well, I'll give the quick synopsis of the story. So we met 30 years ago in New York City. We both came to New York to pursue theater, and we were both attended a conservatory there, and we met...
The American Musical and Dramatic Academy.
We were standing outside. There was a show called Lend Me a Tenor with Victor Garber, and it was so good. And we both... saw each other. Where there's a story about how we saw each other. I won't bore you with those details. But anyway, love, it was love at first sight.
Yes.
I had just come out. I was a late bloomer, literally. I came out of the closet at like, well, anyway. And he came out of the closet as soon as he was born. I mean, he kicked the door down.
It's like, get out of that vagina.
you and me both. I always say I came out of my mom's womb with a top hat and a cane. And I was like, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my daughter. Yeah.
Exactly.
The doctor slapped his ass and he says, that all you got? Anyway, so fast forward. So then we performed and we did, you know, we enjoyed a career in theater for many years. And then we both sort of moved into the corporate world, which we didn't like so much.
Yeah, which stabbed us in the heart.
Yeah. So, and all through those years, I've always enjoyed cooking. I come from a family that are both my parents are good cooks. And growing up in Texas, you know, there's food everywhere, beef and tacos and things like that. So I just loved cooking, and Wesley loves to eat my cooking.
I grew up in South Dakota, and my mother, I love her dearly, but she couldn't cook to save her life. So the mashed potatoes and the gravy looked exactly alike.
They looked alike and they tasted alike. They tasted like nothing.
She served it with love. Anyway, so I didn't really have a really, you know, a refined palate, let's say that. So when I met Chris and Chris started cooking, that's when I got fat.
Oh, stop it. You have always been fat. Oh. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. You're not fat.
I'm healthy.
Portly is a better word. Oh, I'm kidding.
No, so anyway, you sound like the people in my elevator to me.
Anyone who would say that to you, so they should be slapped.
Yes, they should be slapped. I mean,
we all had the COVID spread.
Listen, we are a body positivity podcast here.
Exactly.
We embrace everybody of all gender, all sizes. You know, there is, and we eat everything, honey. Yeah. All right. So
exactly.
So anyway, so this was 8 years ago. I made this cool salad that I thought, oh, that's pretty. And I took a picture and put it on Facebook. And, you know, you get that instant gratification where everyone's like, oh my God, I love that. That's so beautiful. I want the recipe. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. So then the next week I did pork chops or something and same thing. So I had to think, well, this is kind of fun. Why don't I just start a blog and
what
write
year
about
was this?
It? Huh?
What
2013.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So we were still working in the corporate world, although we were anxious to get out of it by that point. And we're still doing theater type stuff on the side. Still, it's always will always be a part of our lives. And so then, you know, humor, I don't know, maybe you noticed, is something that we kind of thrive on. So we had to make it kind of funny. And Wesley's last name as Loon is already kind of funny, and he is a loon, so
as in the bird, not the crazy person. Let's just say that
now. When I first saw the handle on Instagram, I almost said when I first saw your handle, and then I was like, wait a minute. When I first saw the handle on Instagram, I thought it was How to Feed a Loon, like Katharine Hepburn. Norman.
Yeah. We get so many. So it's hilarious because as we've grown and, you know, people, more and more people know about us, apparently a loon in Scotland is the name, what they call a young boy. And so we get a lot of people, the Scottish people, saying, I thought I'm looking for things to feed my children. And I thought how to feed a loon was how to feed young boys. And I was like, well, it sort of is. Wesley sometimes acts like a little boy.
Well, of course.
But anyway, so then
he's just youthful.
He is. Exactly. He's very youthful.
Exactly.
And then it just, I mean, I don't know. It just started to resonate with people. And
we had one particular recipe that just shot us into the stratosphere, and it was a chicken salad. Can you believe that?
Chicken salad. I know. I did a deep dive into your life, and I was telling In Your Mouth listeners, I was telling them before I hit the record button that I feel like I'm just family now. There's wedding videos. There's all sorts of videos out there. You can learn a lot about Wesley.
We are an open book.
That's right. I love it. I love it. I even had like a cry moment this morning for your wedding trailer. I was like, oh my goodness.
We were so we were not going to have a big wedding. We were when Doma was knocked down, and
I'm not meaning to cut in.
Do you have 2 hours? We've got 2 hours.
Don't worry. It's okay. You know, we stay on a road. We take a left turn. The Waze gets us back on track.
We all have different paths to get to the same place. But we had a wedding, like, we called it a wedding back in 1992 when same-sex marriage wasn't even a discussion, but we just were so in love with each other. But
we grew up in households where we were lucky that our parents stayed together. And so that's how we saw relationships. And the next step in a relationship after love was getting married. So
how the song goes, right? First comes love, then comes marriage.
And then come the fur babies.
Then comes Wesley with the fur babies.
Right. I mean, we just followed such a traditional path. But that is sort of why we wanted to do it, because why not? I mean, back then, we're like, you know, we love each other and we really believe in the value of marriage. I mean, if it's not for you, it's not for you. But we wanted to commit ourselves to one another in front of our family, our friends, and God, and everyone. Yeah. And why not?
And the wonderful thing about that is that everybody was working with us. Everybody wanted the same thing. So the Gay and Lesbian Community Service Center on 13th Street said, you know what, we've got this wonderful room, it's like for hardly any money.
And we had hardly any money. So people really, I mean, back then people were like, I believe in what you're doing. This is important. And so many people just donated their services to us.
And Chris's father came to that wedding. And the one thing that I remember is that the bathroom at the Gay and Lesbian Community Service Center, men's room
in 92,
has a mural on the ceiling of all penises painted by Keith Haring. And I just picture Chris's father in that bathroom looking up at all the penises.
And I that was soon after I'd come out to him. And so he's so smart. And he said, I know I don't understand this right now, but I know if I don't do this one day, I'll probably regret it. And so God bless him. He came and there was like a meeting of drag queens in the room next door and penises in the bathroom. And it was beautiful.
Which you can still see. They're still there. It's not a functioning bathroom anymore, but now it's just a preserved gallery to that Keith Haring mural. Bathroom. So it is still there and well preserved. And I don't know if the LGBTQ center is open right now during these times. Yeah, but sure. What if it is, go safely see it and go support them for sure. I love that. But back to the chicken salad. Right? Because, you know, love is love, and chicken salad apparently isn't chicken salad unless it's yours.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good.
It's delicious. I literally, when Chris first made it, I thought, this is ridiculous. How is this so incredibly good? Do you want to tell the secret?
Well, it was one of those things that in the creating recipes for the blog, you think, oh my God, this one's, everyone's going to die for this one. It's so delicious. And sometimes, you know, it gets a lukewarm reaction or just whatever, it does okay. And then I'll do chicken salad. It was like, well, I haven't done a chicken salad. Let me come up with something. And so I sort of played around with it, and it just, it exploded. And so there are a few secrets to it that I think that make it special. And
me.
Yeah.
Me standing over.
You, right? Dirty fingers just picking at it as he makes it. You know?
Exactly. Give me that chicken scan, please.
Yes. Hello.
I think
you said in one of your videos that real chicken is the secret, and I am a big advocate for real chicken as opposed to canned chicken.
Oh God, yes.
I mean, I'm all about giving people alternatives, especially now when, you know, going to the store is a challenge, and even a few months ago when buying products was a challenge. But I draw the line at canned chicken. I just, you know, you've got a rotisserie chicken is okay. I mean,
and
but
cheap
I love
and cheerful.
Yes, cheap and cheerful, right.
To quote Ms. Rachel Ray, but like she's always saying that, you know, rotisserie chicken is cheap and cheerful. Yeah. The local, even here in Times Square, my local grocery store, there's like a bunch of grocery stores that are really expensive near me, but there's one that's been in this neighborhood for a really long time. Their rotisserie chicken is $5.50 or something like that.
Yeah, and perfect.
And delicious.
Delicious.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
Yeah,
it's, I know, yeah.
And it is. And I think at least my secret is to rotisserie chicken, no matter what you're doing to it, is once you get it home, to take it off the bone and store it. Because I feel like if you don't take it off the bone and then you like want a snack or something, you're like, oh, it's on the bone. I got to do it. It's like a lot more work. And so you get less of it. So once it's like done, you end up eating all of it.
Exactly.
Right. Plus you get to snack on like the warm skin.
I know.
That's Wesley's favorite part.
Warm skin.
Snacking on the warm skin.
So good. So delicious.
Oh my God. So chicken salad, yes. Set your blog ablaze. And then and then the domino effect happened into food fame.
Well, we started as food bloggers, I mean, it's become our full-time business now. And so it is a business. So you're always having to try to be innovative. And the most important thing is to give people what they want, you know, and make them enjoy what you're providing them. But you also have to be willing to kind of expand what you do. And so then we started doing video. We've always kind of played around with video, but then video became such an integral part of what we offer. And we do sort of think that kind of it's what differentiates us from a lot of other food bloggers is that it's us. You know, when you get the food, you don't just get a recipe. You get
our personality. You get us having, you know, a conversation or, you know, just being fun. Exactly. And fabulous.
Yeah. And it definitely shines through in all your cooking videos. And even I'm sure it's shining through even through the airwaves right now. but so Chris, you're obviously have been the cook. Wesley, have you honed your cooking skills now? And are you more like active in the kitchen? Or are you,
I am. Are I am. I actually, like, yeah. You know? I actually help out a little more. I know how to
boil water.
Well, I can cut a nice avocado. There we go.
Okay. Chris's face throughout this whole thing was like,
wait, it's slow. Hey. We're moving slowly, but just the fact that he's in the kitchen 10 years ago, he wouldn't even know how to get to the kitchen. So we're making progress.
Right. Well, I do actually do offer some services to How to Beat a Loon. I actually take all the, I'm the photographer. I take all the pictures. I do all of our film editing. Once we're done in the kitchen, it's my job to take over.
It is amazing the talent that he really is super talented.
I'm really super talented.
Okay, anyway, it was kind of amazing how that just happened. And so he has really found what he does. We would not be where we are without what he does. And I mean, the cooking, I hope that it speaks for itself. So
look at my size.
Wesley, stop it.
I will.
And you, so Chris, I know that you're like a home trained cook, and then you've done a bunch of intensive at the Institute for Culinary Education, ICE?
Culinary Institute of America in New York. Yeah.
Yes.
CIA. Then, I've been to CIA. The CIA.
Yeah.
Yes, he's part of the CIA. That boot camp, because I didn't go, he was there by himself, and he would call me at night going, this is so crazy. But he also would say, you know, my instincts are correct. They're telling me that my instincts are correct. So it was pretty,
intense. I mean, it was great, but it was, if anyone who's listening, who is really loves cooking or wants to learn how to cook or be a better cook, they have all different kinds. It's in Hyde Park, New York.
Yeah. Gorgeous area.
And, it's beautiful campus, and they really do. They have like 1 day sessions. I took the full 7 day session, and they basically take their entire program and they condense it down to 7 days and make it very intense. So it was, but I also, you know, we toyed around with talking to production companies about TV shows and things like that. And so that was when that was starting to be a possibility. I thought, you know, if people are going to really start looking to me as a real expert in the kitchen, I need to make sure I really do know what I'm talking about. So I went partially just to learn, but I also wanted to find out if I knew what I thought I knew. And I felt good about things. It was definitely help my confidence, we'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's really interesting that our journeys are very similar. I have not been to the CIA, but I may work for the CIA, but that's a different story.
that's another podcast.
We won't say anything.
The gay CIA. I am inspecting, you know, dark corners of the bars and things.
Like, wait, isn't that the gay mafia?
Well, that's what we're part of.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But our journeys are very similar in the aspect of, you know, I had started a blog just before you that no longer exists, and I am self-trained myself. And at one point I was baking custom cakes, like wedding cakes out of this apartment, and
all sorts of things.
So, you know, there's something to be said about like your natural instincts and honing those. And speaking of like natural instincts, Wesley, were you always just in tune with video editing and photography? Because that is no easy feat as someone who handles all the production and of this podcast, you know, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was, I don't know. It's the technology to me has always come a little easier than most people. So
than Chris.
I'm trying to be nice.
Thanks. For once, apparently.
Yeah, no, Chris was like, where's the on button?
Oh, please. I know what an on button.
Where's the switch? I just tried to find the switch.
Just wish I could find your off button.
Oh, shush. No, but it was pretty easy. And I just kind of did and I'm still learning. It's just kind of doing just taking some online courses and learning your camera and learning how to use the software that makes you look good.
So. But you're right. It's not easy. It is not. It is very technical, and he's completely self-taught, and the speed at which he taught himself is just, I mean, a lot of people who are doing similar things to what we do now have teams and have professionals that are doing it. And then we do everything ourselves. And there are times we feel like we're going to implode, he does all of that. And it amazes me every day.
It can be exhausting, cause you know, you work all day and then at night, I'm like, get away from that computer. I got to sit here and edit for a few hours. It's nonstop.
I feel your pain. Trust me, I feel your pain.
And one other thing. So when we first started, Chris would take pictures with his iPhone of the food, and it looked horrible. So I was like, oh crap, we got to do something with this, with these pictures.
Well, at the time, it didn't look horrible. We thought, oh, that looks good. Yeah. But, you know, we had
fuzzy. So nice and fuzzy.
I had a quarantine meltdown, and all my old blog posts from that other blog that I had were on my website now, and they were just all there, and the food photos were really shitty. But back then, like, I didn't have an iPhone 11 or I didn't have an SLR camera or whatnot, and I didn't have portrait mode or all these apps that like can do all these things.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, that like low light photo of this martini glass on this table looks really great.
Yeah.
And I had a meltdown. I tore it all down. I've still figuring out what I'm going to do with it. Sorry out there if you're like waiting for it. It's just taking me a minute.
Yeah. No, I know. I look
just
back
at so much.
I know, but you don't realize. It is.
Yeah.
Like you'd see, we'd look at old pictures and we took a picture of enchiladas and it would be on like the kitchen table and you'd see like
a reflection of my face
or like, an old newspaper or, in the we couldn't remove the beer can.
Yeah. Or like what made me think that my overhead lighting from my ceiling fan was the best light for this photo? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Great.
Oh my God.
So many times.
This is so much fun. And I don't want to stop, but I think this next segment is going to be the best yet.
Oh,
folks,
dear.
I think now is a great time to take Chris and Wesley into my favorite part and y'all's favorite part of the podcast. I said y'all because they're from Texas. a little something I like to call Food News Update. Food News, hon. You ain't red, girl. Spill the tea. Up. World Central Kitchen will be providing meals near polling places this election day.
Oh, God, that's a difficult one.
I know. I started a little heavy because, I needed to bring the energy down so we could pull it right back up. But what I love about this, and I am all, In Your Mouth listeners, if you're just joining me or if you've been with me for a little while, I am a huge fan of Chef Jose Andres, who is the proprietor of World Central Kitchen, and he goes into devastated places like Puerto Rico, like Texas after the hurricanes, and even during this quarantine, and has been feeding communities that need it.
Yes. Right?
So I thought this was just really, really special and a really special headline.
For me, it's like, let's do what we have to do to get people to be able to vote. And, especially, someone who can't, if that's going to get someone to the polling station and maybe have some food for those pollsters that are the people that are working at the polling station.
Or if you're standing in line for 4 hours and you can't get lunch, then there's somebody there to give you lunch.
Exactly. So World Central Kitchen, this is from Delish.com. Thank you, Delish.com. WCK acknowledged that many people go to the polls when they can within a busy workday, which is often during lunch breaks, after work, or before work, all of which are prime meal times. And oftentimes they are met with long lines that can prevent them from eating during that time or even going to vote at all. So World Central Kitchen is doing its part by setting up stations by polling locations around the country and targeting those with historically long lines, predicted massive turnouts, or limited facilities.
Fabulous.
It's so good to hear about someone doing something positive at the polling station rather than being intimidating.
Right. And listen, we all know, we hear it on the news, and we know that some of these polling places are getting shut down, and it's in these communities that aren't really affluent. And so these communities already have limited resources, and now they got to travel even further to get to these polling sites. And who knows what their situation is, and even if they can afford to get meals outside. So this, I think, is also really, really great. This initiative also is partnering with local food trucks and restaurants to provide meals, which will not only benefit the voters, but will also help support the restaurants during this time of turmoil, which
That's
is great.
Fabulous.
So it's like, fabulous.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's wonderful. To me, it shows the beautiful side of what this country can do.
Exactly.
There's been so much negativity, and that's a beautiful thing. It's about democracy, and that's great.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love him. I love everything he's doing. If you're listening, which you're not, Chef Jose Andres, you are welcome on this pod any day of the week. So Chefs for Polls will be setting up operations on Election Day, November 3rd, as well as some early voting days in more than 24 cities, including Los Angeles, Chicago, Charlotte, Pittsburgh, and more. You can go to worldcentralkitchen.com, I believe, to donate or find out updates. I am here for this. I think we all are, aren't we, gentlemen?
Yes. We are. I sound like I was barking.
I thought you were going to make a Kesha reference, and I was going to be like, yes, okay. Because she has that song, like, we are, right?
Yes, we are
totally. The crazy kids. We are
trying to hit that note that I can't reach.
Yeah.
It's a little, so I just threw some shade.
Pumpkin spiced glazed turkey is a thing now thanks to Honey Baked.
You know what? Why don't we keep them separate?
I mean, Chris's face throughout this whole thing.
I'm holding reserve. I'm reserving judgment. I think it's okay, at least it's not pumpkin spice Cheetos or something. Right. You see that? We're about to get there.
We haven't reached the third headline yet.
I don't want to judge. I mean, you're probably not going to see it on the blog. Although,
if they're giving us sponsorship dollars, I will.
Hell yeah.
You know what? I've changed my mind.
Bring on the pumpkin spice.
Well, last week's episode, I talked about Kraft giving out as a competition pumpkin spice mac and cheese.
Ooh, huh. It's like crickets. I don't know. I'll try it. I can't guarantee I'm gonna lie. I don't mean to be judgy. It's such a trend and trends sometimes.
I'll be judgy.
You always are judgy.
I think it needs to be pumpkin spice needs to just be pumpkin spice, and put it in.
I love it in a latte.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, it's basic bitch season. It's sweater weather. Put on your cold girl sweater, get your matcha latte, and throw your honey baked ham, pumpkin spice honey baked ham in the oven. So Honey Baked Ham Company announced last week that it was beginning to test a pumpkin spice glazed turkey breast in select cities across the U.S. What was there to say about it?
You know, my opinion of that, I'm sure it's probably delicious. I really do.
It's sweet and spicy.
Yeah, I mean, a glaze on a ham, that's a natural.
A little maple glaze is fine. I'm a traditionalist. I'm sorry.
Well, but then you're going to have pumpkin pie, and then you probably...
Yeah, why don't you just take that pumpkin pie and smear it on your turkey?
Was that a proposition?
I haven't heard that since the 80s.
The last time I saw legs like that was when they got rid of the piano.
Oh, Lord.
I would try some pumpkin spice.
Yeah, I know, I would.
Why not? If you're sending it to us, you know what? Honey Baked Ham Company, prove us wrong. The challenge is send us both one and we'll do something live together and give you all the humor and comedy about it.
Yeah, and we'll make it delicious.
Yes, Chris will make that, then I'll just smash some pumpkin all over myself.
Yes. It's the holiday season already, and according to food brands, things like pumpkin spice latte and Brack's turkey dinner candy corn may be here to stay.
Okay. Oh, Lord. I'm just going to put it out there.
Candy corn.
Yeah. I am not a candy corn fan. There we go. Done.
I know, and he's so... vocal about it. I mean, if I don't dislike them. I grew up, I don't know, maybe in Texas, I don't know.
So wait, a pumpkin spice?
No. It was a long headline. Thanks, munchies.com. But basically, Brack's, who make candy corn, released a turkey dinner candy corn.
Oh, I did see that. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
okay, that's a little bit... Okay, yeah. you're trying to build on tradition and
you're trying to make me hate something I hate already.
Well, I mean, candy corn is so divisive already. It's like America in a candy.
Yes. You
know? Exactly.
Some hate it, some love it.
And then you're like... And then you're going to put a turkey dinner flavor, which includes... And listen closely. It includes flavors... In one bag, roasted turkey, green bean, sweet potato pie, cranberry sauce, and stuffing-flavored candy.
It's like on Willy Wonka. I know.
Remember, the Gobstopper. The Everlasting Gobstopper.
Yeah.
Now, if we were in the Willy Wonka factory and I had to try that then sure. But I'm not in the Willy Wonka factory. So don't give me no Gobstoppers right now.
I have a blueberry for a daughter.
I want a golden egg.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't tell you how many times Wesley's gotten stuck in the chocolate pipes.
That is horrible. Horrible.
It's a problem.
Oh. I'm dead. And with that, I want to just say thank you for listening to you.
Oh, gosh.
You broke me.
Didn't know what you were getting into, did you?
They broke Munoz. They really, really did. You know what? I kind of just want to get my hands on one of these Brax turkey dinner candy.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Just to taste it, because I'm a candy corn fan. And then,
I am too.
And then I went down a hole. Speaking of chocolate tubes and things, of like fall-flavored things and like cookie pop Oreo popcorn apparently was just released. Pumpkin spice Twinkies, pumpkin spice ice cream sandwiches, Mott's apple cider, Keurig cups. There's even pumpkin spice. You know the... like if you don't drink alcohol for New Year's, you get that Martinelli's cider. Yeah,
sparkling cider, sure.
Yeah, they have sparkling pumpkin spice now. Bailey's has apple pie.
Wow.
You know, it's Cheerios, something that's near and dear to your hearts, has pumpkin spice. you know?
Yeah. Yes, I would try Cheerios pumpkin spice.
Yeah, that kind of sounds good. Even though I'm not a cereal guy, that sounds really good. I think it may be a little out of control.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Well, I think there's clearly a market for it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be saturating the world with it. So there are people who do gravitate towards that kind of stuff and like, okay, good. But I'm just not one of those.
But then you also think, are these marketers on acid right now? Please.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all stuck inside. And what else do we have to do than come up with different ways to market pumpkin spice? And with that, I think that's a great way to end food news update. Yeah. How was that for you, gentlemen?
know what? I need a cigarette.
after being stuck in the
chocolate
pipes, what does one do? Call the fire brigade?
If only.
Get out the pump.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
Oh my goodness! So tell me, what's next for How to Feed a Loon?
Oh, well, we're just going to keep on. Something new happens, I swear, like almost every day. We get contacted. Sponsors contact us. So we have to kind of be careful with the sponsors. A lot of blogs, they will over-sponsor something. So you'll just see nothing but sponsored. So we like to obviously have our own thoughts and minds when it comes to some of these posts.
And it has to be something you support. This Pride, I lost a lot of work, unfortunately, and it happened to everyone just for Pride. But last Pride, all these businesses were looking for influencers and whatnot for Pride. And the way I do things in this queer kind of gender bendery way sometimes was really appealing. And all sorts of people were reaching out. And I just wasn't here for some of the gay baiting, as I called it. Because you're going to slap a rainbow on it doesn't mean I'm automatically just going to support you. So my thing to them would be, like, great. Oh, my God. That's so amazing that you're doing this for Pride. But can you tell me what you're doing internally as a company to support your LGBTQ people? Do you have a support system set up if there are trans people in your network, to help them, either with their, like, you know, navigate that, whether it be mental health or right. you know, support services in that way. And,
yeah,
you know,
we're not here just to give you a little segment of the population.
And especially with what's happening in the world today, as a queer Latino voice in food, one of the few out there, you know, there's, I got a couple sponsorship things, not only wanting to use me for, you know, how I identify, but for my Latino-ness, my Puerto Rican-ness. and that was a whole nother conversation of what are we doing here? I'm not like, is this actual a thing? And is this going to be a long-lasting relationship? Or is this just a blip in time? Because I'm not here for a blip. You know?
Exactly. It's interesting though, when we do get these sponsors, we have to sit there and say, do they know that we're a gay couple? Do they know this? And if they do, then we're like, hell, that's great.
I think we love it. I think initially we've had some, I don't know. I mean, we had like beef brands, you know, and like really kind of like macho type things. We do have a lot of
the meat. National Pork Board. What? Yeah. We're like, yes.
And then we're like, okay. He's saying about us being gay, but now I think it's been reassuring that so many of these brands, and they're like really well-established brands, major brands that are proud and happy to have this gay couple. And you know, we're just a married couple, you know, and being gay is certainly an important part of who we are. But at the end of the day, we're just a gay couple trying to make a living and doing what we do. And that resonates with people. And it's just been encouraging to see so many, because we've had these brands that keep coming back to us and they keep wanting us to do more and more and more. And we've become like brand ambassadors for major brands as a gay couple. I think that shows the progress that we're making as a community.
Yeah, that's it. And that's really incredible. And that's really, really special. And you gave the listeners a little inside look into what it was like to get married when you couldn't get married back in 1992, right?
Yes.
92, yeah. You said. And just coming from that moment to this moment, you know, and seeing the support there to seeing a completely different kind of support now, it must be incredible. And I'm curious to know what coming out was like for you then, and now seeing this in hindsight, like everything that's happening in your life being celebrated now.
Well, I'll speak first. I mean, I grew up in, you know, Texas, especially back when I was growing up, was conservative. It still is, although we're helping that to become more diversified. But I grew up in a very conservative state. I grew up in a very conservative family. And it was never talked about. Like I didn't have any gay people to look. I'm sure they were there. Everything was so hidden, you know, and coming out really was just not done then. So it didn't even feel like an option to me. I look back on that and I think, oh my God, how is that possible? So that's part of the reason why, you know, and we were a religious family. So the whole thing of like, you know, not only am I going to lose my family, but God is going to like, you know, condemn
me. Smite me down.
Yeah. So there was a lot of crap going on in my head. And so then actually it was theater that helped. When I finally found theater, the arts helped me see the light, and it lifted this burden off of my shoulders. And then everything changed and my family changed. And, you know, my dad, my mom and dad became some of the biggest gay rights activists.
I know. Ever. Marching with P flag. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
If anyone gets a chance, you know, go to the How to Feed a Loon YouTube channel and there's a wedding section. And my dad gives a speech. It's had almost 2 million views. And
I've seen it. Cried about it this morning.
Yeah, it's just wonderful.
And it was the video, and his father, just to jump on your story a little bit, his father had a hard time with us throughout the years, and he finally saw my dad's video, and it changed his mind, and he accepted me fully.
Oh, Lord, stop it. I'm going to cry now. Wesley? No, just, you know, people can't see me, so I'm just, and we sound so much alike. So anyway, I grew up in South Dakota. It was horrifying. Let's just say that. So me in high school was just horrifying. So horrifying that I feared for my life. So I actually left at 17. Went to the big metropolis of Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, that thriving metropolis of Omaha.
Yes.
Fast-paced city.
Yeah.
No, shout out to you, Omaha listeners, if you're out there.
Yes. That's where I, let's just say I sowed my oats in
Omaha. You found the steaks.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's so.
Yes.
And the seasoning.
Yeah. So, and from there, I actually went to high school. I finished high school on my own in Omaha. And my drama teacher introduced me to this school in Manhattan. And that's where I left Omaha and moved straight to Manhattan. And I met Chris a week later in 1989. I'm going to say it in 1989. I was 19 years old.
Yes. I love
and Chris
that.
Was 30.
Shut up. Not even close.
We talk a lot about coming out on this podcast because obviously this podcast is not only a celebration of people in food, but a celebration of LGBTQ people in food. And I'm forever preaching on this soapbox that our stories are important, you know, and each one of our stories is unique and different. But coming from the perspective of, you know, men with experience and knowledge and wisdom, you know, because there's a lot of young people in the food world now. And when I started food blogging in 2009, 2010, I was the only gay food blogger I could find out there.
I started
because I didn't see myself represented as a gay person on Food Network and as a gay Latino person on Food Network. Like, that's why I started.
Yeah, that's
and so, great. And so getting this perspective and getting your story and seeing from whence you come to where you are and how beautiful that journey is, I think is really important for myself and the listeners to hear, you know? So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, wouldn't change a thing.
What do you think, you know, before we close out, what do you think the secret is to not only the longevity of working together, but the longevity of your beautiful relationship? Give the children the advice. Give it to them now, honey.
It's
honesty. Honesty is one of the most important things. And laughter. Laughter, it gets us through so much. And the fact that we can actually speak to each other about, you know, things that are uncomfortable. You just got to be yourself, be honest.
Be willing to sort of like, you know, suck down your pride and say, I'm sorry, I messed up.
Right.
You know, I mean, that is the biggest thing because people, you know, you when you think back in the fights and the arguments you have, if you really think about them, they're often so petty, but they can lead to such division in relationships. And so being able to just say, you know what,
I was wrong.
Let's drop it. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize. Even if in the down the bottom of your heart, you don't think you were wrong.
No.
Because then the coming back together is, you know, is so much more meaningful. And that's what lends to longevity, I think.
Yeah. Amazing. Listen, I am single and ready to mingle. But if you can't make me laugh, good night.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. That's the biggest one. Laughter and food for us.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of my friends I'll be doing something crazy and they'll be like, you do this alone in your apartment, don't you? And I'm like, yep. I have a good time by myself.
Yeah. I mean, you know, gotta have fun with somebody. Yeah. Why not yourself?
Hello. And these days, you know,
Exactly. It's better to be alone right now.
All the fun is, being had by myself to say the most.
Oh, you need some webcams up in there.
Oh God, they're here. Listen, I can't go down a dirty Twitter OnlyFans road. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Let's keep it clean.
You know,
let's move on to the chocolate pipes.
I'll watch, but I won't. I won't. Whatchamacallit.
Engage.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. This has been so much fun, guys. And I can't thank really you fun. Enough to for giving me your time and just laughing with me for the past, you know, hour or so. This has been really, really amazing. Let the kids know where they can find you, how they can see you.
Sure, yeah. So our blog is howtofeedaloon.com. And our Instagram handle is at How to Feed a Loon. Also Twitter and YouTube. So we're
just How to Feed a Loon. Yeah. And just Google that and you'll find us.
You'll see our faces.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Subscribe.
And I expect like just that Katharine Hepburn soundbite every time. You know?
The loon's Norman. The loon's Norman.
He's back, Norman. He's back.
Norman, you old poop. Wait a minute. I know I'm closing out, but I just don't want to say goodbye. Have you seen Alexandra Billings? Do you know who Alexandra Billings is? She was on Transparent before that closed down. So Alexandra Billings, before she was TV star Alexandra Billings, is a drama teacher out in LA, and she's a trans activist and beautiful, hysterical. Go on YouTube and watch her old segments called Katie's Corner.
Love it.
Katie's Corner, where she would dress up like Katharine Hepburn, and it would be like Katharine Hepburn's talk show.
Yeah,
of like Katharine Hepburn making pumpkin pancakes.
Yes,
Katharine Hepburn decorating a tree. It is some of the funniest thing.
I need to go refresh myself. Yes.
Yes. It is definitely an iconic moment. Oh my goodness. Thank you once again to the boys of How to Feed a Loon, Chris and Wesley. This has been an amazing time. I don't know how I'm going to top this episode, really.
You are so sweet. You've actually made it so easy for us.
Yeah. That's what they say. No poppers needed.
Yes, yes.
I have been called a top in the kitchen.
Well, we'll just say that we're flexitarian over here.
Flexitarian is the only way to be. No joke, my friends, if someone else is cooking in the kitchen, I get thrown out. They're like, you're so aggressive. You're like a top in the kitchen. Get out. Right.
That's good.
I love it.
There's just no better way to close out this episode than just say, stay safe out there, wear a mask, wash your hands, and thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth.